right. Time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. And such. All right. I thought I'd do a video. I want to work on the Effelist.com or Effelism.com website. Seems it should be a resource. Okay. Yes, it should be updated. Should be a resource. Now, part of the updating part, well, maybe not, but the writing part making the argument, trying to make the argument new ways, short videos, that kind of thing. Maybe that's what I'll use the Effelist website for. And just looking at it and going through some of the old videos, 12-year-old videos, clearly, the argument, I'm not advancing the argument, I'm just attempting to find it's just this idea of sticking a key in a lock is how you communicate with people. Essentially, you're trying to say the open sesame password, that will make their brain accessible. It's a challenge, especially a challenge, looking like this. Maybe if I was 18 and perky and named whatever, Tiffany, it'd be easier. There's lots of obstacles to being able to, access people's inner, their real self, not the projection self, but their real core, and talk to it and explain just simple, basic economic facts or rules of the road, that your tires are made out of rubber, they're not made out of steel, you can't run over nails and you can't do certain things because it just won't work, okay? Car will fail to function. You can't make it do that. You can't make, you could make a cake out of paper mache and it looks like a cake, but you can't eat it. Those kind of rules. Life just comes with this dismal truth that it's got a pathetically bad origin. And the whole construction is modeled to fit in that construction. It's a part made for this device, and you really can't take the piece out, like consciousness, and use it for something else. Because it doesn't have a use anywhere else. It only works in the machine of evolution and scheming tools and tools of conquest, and that this is just creates a bloodbath, a completely inefficient system of pointless competition to gratify and satisfy needs that don't need to exist. And it's just a sad kind of truth that we're caught up in that cycle. Now, that shouldn't be a hard argument to make. Not a single-player game, too expensive, not your money. Not very complicated. And I've been saying the same thing for 12 years, and I haven't been able to the key has worked. The key of my words, of my personality, has worked on very few locks. so whatever casual people that tend to drift in, not too many of them stick over time. And the ones that do stick pretty hard, but otherwise it's a tough racket. And I've failed dismally. And it's just, it's just the truth. I haven't been able to sing a song anybody likes. And, it's disappointing. The challenge remains in front of me. And I still think there's nothing wrong with the music. I don't know what exactly, how off key I am or what exactly I'm doing to fuck it up. But it doesn't seem like I have failed. From my just viewing it, I say, okay, this is a pretty good argument. How come this doesn't work? So I'm going to play. This is my favorite of the Gray Chai Cho videos. I guess I'll point out that, there's a link at the bottom here, Gray Tie Cho. You click on that and you'll end up at his website that is got, you know, I think there probably is 100 or more of these videos accessible there. You know, and some better than others. Some are more aggressive than others, you know, different style. So it's not like it's made for somebody who just likes sad stories. There's angry stories. There's all kinds of different little ways of saying basically the same thing. Some on a few other subjects, but most of them focused on this subject of how life just isn't a nice story. It's not a good story. It's a bad fairy tale. You could scare, you know, intelligences in the rest of the world by talking about the tragedy of life on Earth, because it is that. So anyway, so I figured it would be worth playing the video just to point out how, wow, you know, I said it pretty good. You know, it seems like it should have worked, and it hasn't. And it hasn't moved enough people. They just haven't given it a chance, I would argue, fundamentally. And, you know, the rejection is too knee-jerk. People are just too resistant to be told that they're ambitions are cruel and inefficient, you know, that their happiness isn't really going to be worth it. They really don't want to hear that. You know, they want to hear that they earned it and that they deserve it. It's just not the truth. So anyway, so let's, you know, on with this show. So this is, like I said, this was probably my favorite out of the bunch, but there's a lot of good ones. But this one says the couple of lines that are just so necessary for somebody to understand, in my opinion, to be a realist on Earth. I don't think you can be a realist on Earth without conceding to the points. That's probably enough.
Unintelligent design is going to create huge volumes of waste and sloppiness. There's going to be paint on the walls, food on the floor, however you want to metaphor it, but the retard ain't going to do it right.
I probably could have said crayon on the walls and food on the floor or something like that. I don't know. Could have said it better, but the fact that the retard isn't going to do it right is just a simple fact that the system isn't smart. Evolution, the DNA molecule, chemistry, physics, they're not smart processes. They're just that, processes, physical processes. They don't know what they do, okay? They have no context of understanding. They can't even compose a defense for the accusation that they're cruel and stupid, because they're too stupid to even compose a defense for their for the mess they have made.
And there's going to be a mess made, and that's the dilemma of the true atheist, is accepting the fact that he's part of a big waste engine, an engine that has 99 times more friction function.
Yeah, very good words, frankly. I can't see how you can, you know, say it any clearer that there's this huge price going to be paid, and it's, you know, it's because of these elements of the friction between these competing DNA molecules and these competing strategies of creating a form of something and having it succeed and get into the future. And again, it's a form of something. You know, I would argue the best part of me is what I understand, what my brain has acquired as understanding, and none of this physical crap is worth a damn. You know, whether this physical crap gets into the future would mean absolutely nothing to me compared to the fact that what's the understanding getting into the future would be the only thing important to me. And that's the real, an even bigger tragedy is that, you know, in this competition and in this battle, we can't do anything you know, in terms of a evolution, to allow our understanding to earn its place in the future. I can't find a place where it can have the fair fight and, you know, prove itself the more meritorious perspective.
Crude forces in control of precious commodities.
I mean, how can you beat that? I mean, it's just, isn't that the definition of the whole thing? Crude forces in control of precious commodities. You have this very precious thing, which is every one of these little organisms is a feeling, struggling, meritorious organism, just trying to survive and not be harmed, not be eaten, not be hurt, not be deprivated. And they're going to be forced into a musical chair game, and it's going to be completely unyielding. It's going to not care. It's you know, it's not going to pay attention to the fact that in a way it's the decent animals that lose. You know, the ones that aren't aggressive enough to try to trip the guy next to him to get to the chair first. I mean, all the good guys finish last. And it's just a horrible system. But yeah, I mean, how can you say it better than that? I mean, it's crude forces, this brutal DNA war, governing the fate of every one of these feeling things that's trying just not to be tortured, that's struggling to get a breath of air in the quicksand.
That's the real game. So all these little happy pappy, sing songy, pink balloon chasing, life is fun, atheists.
So I guess part of the motivation for the video I was making was just how disappointing the intellectuals are. They just have adopted a new religion. You know, they're just redefining a new age religion. So they're replacing some moronic, dull, dogmatic God with some living force, la la la, crapola, circle of life, shitola, some redeeming silver lining God, some, you know, just mush. And it's just, it's an intellectual tragedy, okay, for somebody to be able to call themselves. Well, a lot of them aren't even, you know, they'll say they're agnostic, you know, they'll say something silly, you know, like, I'm agnostic on the existence of the double Bugs Bunny actually being the overlord of the universe theory. No, I don't think you are agnostic on that theory. I think you know it's bullshit. And they know there isn't anything else here. It is just chemistry. And this is a brutal manifestation of chemistry, is to create this system of replicating shapes that are consuming each other, literally, in about as brutal a manner as possible, without any rules. I mean, no referee that says, you can't kill it that way. No, you can't pull its eyeball out, you know, and leave it half dead. No, you can't, you know, no, there's no referee, there's no rules. And atheists just won't take account for what atheism means, which is there is no underlying blueprint of thoughtfulness that went into creation. There's absolutely nothing intelligent about it. It's a rock banging down a cliff, and each hit is a little bit of torture, you could argue.
Are basically not atheists. They obviously think they're accomplishing something as main part of something's finger painting.
We should be awestruck at 4 billion years. We should be contemplating the idea of these organisms eating each other. all the wrong ways things could have gone. I mean, the world still could be dominated by dinosaurs. It wasn't...
So it's a tiny percentage of the physical, biological substance of Earth that has the dignity and the privilege of being humans. And the rest of it is in this really crude form, ignorant of their slavery. Too stupid to know they're slaves, too stupid to know how to get out of it, too stupid to know that they shouldn't make babies born into slavery, too, you know, without any tools to escape this routine of cruel and brutal death over and over and over and over again. Mostly happening to immature organisms. Besides, to make it even more ugly, is all this horror, you know, is dumped on things that haven't had time to be criminals themselves. they haven't had time to earn a punishment.
For a stupid meteor impact, there'd be no grace or beauty or dignity or...
It's just a fact that, you know, all these people talk about life in the rest of the universe. Well, what would it look like? A great white shark would be the most intelligent thing you could expect to find. You know, an octopus, what? You know, it's just not the pattern of the DNA molecule to create anything smart enough to escape the plan of the DNA molecule, the rules of that simple game. There's no incentive to create anything too smart, because then it's going to break those rules and it won't obey the compulsions to eat thy neighbor. You'll say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to play.
Art would be a crude, dirty, ugly, it could be a bug planet. Okay, that's what it would be. Life isn't all anything. It's a whole pile of shit that happens over years. That's the way we live a life, over a period of years. We know where 99.999% of life has been, the whole history of life on Earth. It hasn't been contemplating the universe, hasn't been doing any of that crap.
So the same tools we have, you know, these other mammals have, and they're just lacking our high school education kind of thing. They're lacking a little bit of knowledge, you know, that we can't communicate to them because they just don't have enough quiet in their brain to acquire language, enough intelligence or brain space, or, you know, their senses are too controlling. Their brain is controlling their senses so much that there's no room, you know, to store a language. So, yeah, they can't be informed of their dilemma. And you can just see, though, their passions is the same as ours. They're just striving to satisfy the need machine, to satisfy the agenda of the biological organism, and not anything higher than that. And, you know, it's sad and tragic. It's a terrible waste of beautifully built organisms to give them such a bad programming.
Tiny, tiny fraction, one grain of sand in a whole beach of time has been spent by human beings in the history of life.
So the history of brains is all the beaches on the earth, and only one grain of sand is human contemplation of the meaning of existence. The rest of the brains have been just tortured and terrified and afraid and hungry and cold and diseased and feeling like crap and, you know, having their eyeball popped out and all the other shit that happens. And that's all they've known. And they've never had any of this grain of sand.
Having this high-minded conversation about how joyous and wonderful life is. Life is a reproducing and replicating piece of DNA.
So that's the key point, is that this is the real agenda of your eyeballs, the real agenda of your senses, and everything about your physical structure. The real agenda, all right, is this niche finding and having tools to defeat the environment that exists, the organisms that you have to beat. I mean, as you beat more of them, then you can change your tools, right? So there's every probability that humans killed the mammoth and humans killed the saber-toothed lions and tigers, the sloth, you know, different organisms that had survived the age of the dinosaurs and got to a place and survived the ice age and all that stuff, and humans annihilated their predators, frankly, things that were an obstacle to their comfort. And by annihilating them, humans could be lazier and weaker, and it was permissible. So we became, you know, a less and less physically competent organism, because our competence was built out of making our spears and our tools and, you know, refining how we could manipulate the environment and build dams or do this or do that or trap animals and trick them. So we found all these ways where we didn't have to be physically capable as long as we had this mental tool of scheming for their failure and, you know, our imposition of our conquest.
A piece of DNA 4 billion years ago, through some mechanism, was rendered capable of reproducing itself. And that has just continued and continued and continued in all these manifestations.
So you just start with that one molecule that split into two, and the two pieces created the new complete molecule. And then you're off to the races, because now every time you change that little DNA signal that tells it how to do that, any change that works, that doesn't cause death, ends up being replicated into the future. And the process is you're just end up saying, okay, here's the environment you have to defeat. Here's the skills we're going to give you to defeat it. And there's just this constant battle between you and what the other gladiators are obliging you to be capable of to defeat them.
For no rhyme or reason, to satisfy no purpose, to accomplish no destiny, to do none of that. It's just an act.
It's cannibalism. Okay, it's just frankly, it's just killing things, and it absolutely is. I mean, you can see it with the look. You know, as a kid, I remember seeing that little drawing of the big fish eating the smaller fish that's eating the smaller fish that's eating the smaller fish that's eating the smaller fish. And it's all very humorous, okay? But that's all it is. And it's if you think about that, it's disgusting.
Accident of biology, of chemistry, to create what we call biology. If you take the broad picture of history, it's pretty dismal. Okay, because we really haven't demonstrated much capacity to escape this idea that we're going to solve problems with violence.
So this got into a little bit of the social contract and the fact that, you know, this is a, you know, back when I was making these videos, I was still attempting to reason with people on this political atmosphere and, you know, the agenda of civilization. And, you know, I even called myself a civilizationalist and different things. And these are different rules you have to understand, that you have to do certain things to make this thing called a civilization. It's like an organism too. It has to survive these obstacles. So it's sort of like the Drake equation, different things where, you know, people talk about this idea, okay, of what the odds are of something getting over an obstacle. So there's this obstacle called technology, you know, and if we allow too much technology into too few hands, too soon, too lazily, too recklessly, you know, the whole game of civilization is going to be ruined and destroyed. So it's a very delicate process to keep civilization alive. The Romans failed, and there's every likelihood that we're going to fail, because it seems we're giving the reins to the dumbest among us rather than the best among us.
And that's going to be a real problem. As technology gets better and better, and we have drones, and we have robots, and we have all this other crap.
You can feel that coming. You can, you know, if you just if you just look at what's going on in the world, you can understand that, yes, why wouldn't we? It's almost like we can have a whole war against an adversary, and we don't have to put any feet on the ground. I mean, we can do it all with our machines now. We can, you know, we're that close. You know, we don't even, people don't have to drive the tanks. People don't have to fly the planes. Nobody has to be, there has to be no skin in the game anymore. And it's just a mechanical process of, do you have just enough hardware to get the job done? And that's all it's going to be about. And it's going to be ugly, because the only thing to kill aren't going to be army men. You know, it's going to be people, terrorists. You know, that's going to be the game. It's just kill some of them on the other side. It's not going to matter who they are. Whether they're wearing a uniform or not isn't going to matter.
You know, war is going to get insidiously messy. Conflict is going to get insidiously messy. Even these microbes and things can be incredibly destructive.
So, you know, this is long before COVID, but just the idea, at least people have a little bit more awareness of how easy it is to disable all of us with just a little bit of chemistry, just a little a virus, a little, and something that can be deliberately made, okay, that we can, in fact, engineer these little living monsters. And that puts us at a huge risk, and we don't have a single bit of preparation for that future. People haven't done anything to recognize its existence and how important it's going to be, and how much control you're going to have to accept, how much of your liberty you're going to have to sacrifice to have a civilization, because you just can't allow, the war to happen. Because this, a group of 10 people can cause you so much mayhem, you know, that it could take you decades to recover.
You've got all kinds of weapons that are going to be out there in the hands of people full of hate. And we haven't demonstrated any capacity to do anything.
And that's the other part of it. I mean, it's this whole thing of how we do have to deal with the fact that we have these fundamental disagreements. And we have to be able to say there's going to be some honorable way we're going to solve this fight. We're not going to throw our children at each other. You know, we're not going to try to throw knives at each other's wives. There has to be some honorable method where all of this stuff is fairly argued in some arena, okay? And the truth exits the arena, okay? The better argument wins. And, you know, that's the only way the future is going to be able to, for there to be a future that's going to be anything like civilized life.
It's this hate problem, so, yeah, you should be a little pessimistic. I think pessimism is the rational perspective. It's all about these ideas anyway, it's about what you fill your brain with, whether you're filling it with nonsense and rubbish and wishful thinking and daydreams about a wonderful DNA ride.
Yeah, so I mean, there's probably a better way to just say how distracted people are by this trivial crap, you know. Just the little preoccupations of, you know, getting their hours of, an hour of porn and an hour of this and an hour of that and all this little trivial entertainments and distractions, that, yes, is so much easier than thinking. I mean, and especially thinking about how you have obligations and how, it's kind of on you, because, you know, if we don't fix it, if the things with the bigger intelligence and brain doesn't step in and referee, they're the cause, you know. They're just now bystanders at a dogfight, you know. And they're as guilty as the people betting money.
Our recognition that it's not right. It's a dumb molecule doing biological experiments.
You know, that's probably a pretty good line. That's all it is. The DNA molecule has no brain. It's not thinking about what's going on or how it's doing it. It's just a process, and it's a very stupid Gladiator War is a stupid game. It's way too inefficient, especially when the Gladiator War involves essentially killing each other's children. So, anyway, I'll play the last bit. I guess it's just this sad, tragic end here. Yes. And fade to black. So, as stated, this is probably this idea of somebody, you know, me being able to say the words unintelligent design, and then you absorbing those words and recognizing, yes, that's the whole problem. That we're not designed to play some intelligent game, we're designed to play a really dumb game. And, you know, it's really dumb. It's not like it's dumb like hopscotch or something. It's dumb because the hopscotch has a bunch of torture built into it. And it's inevitable that it's going to happen. It has to happen for the thing to function. There can't be two winners. There can only be the winner and the loser. And having those, creating a game that only has those two choices wouldn't be intelligent. All right, you wouldn't invent the game. You know, you wouldn't invent the, you know, the dice roll that has kid cancer on it. You wouldn't invent kid cancer. Okay, you wouldn't invent worms that eat your brain. You wouldn't put that on the dice. You know, an intelligence wouldn't construct any of this. And it's just really obnoxious for people who are going to claim to be intelligent to tell me that that's an acceptable circumstance, that we should marvel at how the wonderness of it, you know, when we're, you know, up to our necks in blood. You know, it's a slaughterhouse. It's a meat grinder. There's nothing beautiful. It's disgusting. Repugnant to intelligence to see suffering wasted. Something intelligent can't watch suffering being wasted and say, nothing to see here. You know, moving on. Yeah, no. It has to pay attention. Something like that, anyway. I'm going to take a pause. All right, so we are at the Gray Tai Cho channel page. And so this goes back 12 years ago. And, you know, there's a couple hundred videos here, probably. And most of them are videos probably with my voiceovers. You know, 90% or something. you know, they're all, you know, this is the kind of the poetry part, or the, you know, the cleaning up kind of thing of, you know, regular interaction. And the fact is that you can make the interaction more poignant, enhance it, you know, with music and you know, that fits the mood. And creates, you know, emotional triggers. Now, I've always been kind of against emotional triggers. Like, you know, there's a video here with lions eating a zebra. And, you know, I've never used that kind of tactic because it's sort of just an argument about an intelligent conversation. And you're saying if you can understand the conversation and understand the words, the images are unnecessary and superfluous. So if I have to use the images, it's probably you're too stupid, frankly, to understand the argument. That's kind of a theory behind not cheating the argument, okay, by trying to seduce you, you know, by painting breasts on it or something. You know, it just seems like a cheat. Okay, that's all. But it really does add a beauty, an aesthetic, all right, to the argument that I think is profound. I like watching these videos, okay? They they tug at you. You know, it works. So this is one called One Little Horror, and it's just hard to see how people,
the focus of the channel is just,
can't appreciate. You just watch it and you say, yeah, there's just nothing about this that can make you feel good. And the bad you feel, the empathy and the sadness, has such a dignity and such a beauty to be able to, use your brain to attempt to validate something else's pain and suffering and sacrifice by saying, I see you. Okay, like in the movie, I see you. All right. You're from whatever it was, Mad Max. I'm gonna try to capture you and preserve you and recognize you, and that it wasn't for anything, wasn't for nothing. I saw it, okay? I saw you die on the battlefield, and I acknowledged how bad this is, and I'm gonna take that information and preserve it and use it for this productive purpose. And I see something profoundly beautiful in that. That it wasn't, I don't know how to say it. It's so ugly, but there's beauty in acknowledging that and recognizing that and having the capacity to appreciate that and say, never again, that kind of thing. So this is, I made a few different YouTube channels that I can't access anymore because YouTube requires you to have a cell phone and only allows you to have so many channels and all this other bullshit. So I had a channel called Suffering Sucks, and I think this was the video I put on that channel, the original video.
Going to be in getting or attempting to inspire some sort of appreciation, at least, at minimum. Some little tiny emotional something that'll spark in somebody to realize.
See, I don't really, I shouldn't have to trigger emotions. It should just be a logical argument, okay? There's no evidence of any other fact than that this is a physical universe. There's the real universe is electrons and protons, okay? And that they decide what everything else does. And it's just the forces and the laws governing the interaction between a little mechanical pieces bumping into each other, and that's all there is. There isn't anything else. And, we're just an emergent consequence of the fact that if you bounce them around in certain little small areas, they will, every now and then look like Richard Nixon. that sometimes your toast will burn with an image of Mary on it. It's just the fact that the chemistry can do this. It's not like the chemistry is required to do it or obligated to do it or that it makes any sense that it does it because it doesn't have a brain.
That this stuff isn't unimportant. I mean, there's nothing more important really on Earth. It's almost beyond comprehension, just the suffering of one animal. I mean, I'll use an example, a gratuitous example almost. Yeah, I mean, a neighbor found a little mouse trap, and it's one of these glue traps, and there was a little mouse in it.
In hindsight, maybe I should have videoed the mouse while it was still alive. That would have been gratuitous, I guess, is the argument. Do I really have to show you the horrible death? Do I have to rub it in your nose? Do I actually have to drag you by your little collar and, stick your nose in the poo for you to get the poo be bad, okay? That horrible, tragic, sad, painful, torturous death isn't a good thing, and you're not worth it. That this experience is just so bad and dismal, I wouldn't... I would sacrifice a lot to prevent it, okay, to undo it, and I certainly wouldn't, I certainly would not obligate it for anything, to have anything. You couldn't promise me any gold or silver, you couldn't promise me eternal anything, and say that's going to be the price of it. That victim, has to be tortured for you to have what you want. I don't want it anymore. It's that simple. Yeah. Not difficult to say those words. Continuing.
All right, he's still alive. And he was fucked, though. I mean, he was stuck bad. So there was really no decision to be made. I mean,
So, you know, we're all gonna, you know, fall in the glue trap eventually. And it's because we're not, we haven't done that yet, that most people are so obnoxiously pro-life and gung-ho, is because they haven't personally, you know, spent enough time on the gurney to appreciate the price being paid. And we've done nothing, you know, as a civilization, with all our intelligence, you know, and you see just how cruel, I mean, all of this unnecessary wasted harm. I mean, I had to engineer a death. And in hindsight, I know the right thing to have done would have been just to cut its head off, you know, do something that takes, you know, that creates unconsciousness in a matter of, you know, maybe microseconds. And so, you know, I really don't want to go through it, but I just mean, yeah, so I had to kill it. And it's just the most unpleasant thing to have to participate in, and to, you know, and that's just me. I'm, you know, I'm doing the part that, you know, it's just for people to be so glib and unappreciative, and to insult the integrity of that thing's existence, and that torture is just so dismal. And the thing that, again, the thing that makes it beautiful to me is the fact that this acknowledgement of it, this acceptance of it, and saying, see, here it is, okay, it wasn't for naught, because I learned something from seeing it. I gained an appreciation, a deeper one, okay? I already had it, but it just made it deeper, made it more real. And so it wasn't for nothing. And, you know, that's the part that, you know, moistens my eyes.
To rescue him would have required essentially torturing him.
And again, he was probably going to die in 3 months. You know, mice don't live very long. You know, so how much time did he really have? And how much harm was he going to cause to other mice in that time? Or how many babies would he have ended up having? Or, you know, you go through all this crap. It might be a she. She might be pregnant. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's no bright side to it. It's just, it's all glue trap. It all, this is this, it's cycle of glue trap. It's not a cycle of life. It's a cycle of death. Over and over and over again, and in a magnitude that just can't be measured. We don't have any senses to measure the suffering of the world. You know, we can't feel their pain. And if you could feel their trauma and their fear and their suffering, yeah. Are you really going to argue that if you really had to do that, if you really had to feel their pain, that your life would be worth living? Yeah, come on. Ridiculous.
There was no way to get him out of this mess without causing him a great deal of pain and trauma. The decision then was, well, how do you humanely deal?
Yeah, so how do you deal with this? How was our intelligence supposed to deal with this as being emotional animals, you know? Because this is just so unpleasant. And so I could bring up feral cats, you know, and that there's all these people that love the cats and they care about the cats and they so want to comfort the cats. And so what do? They do surgery on the cats, you know, unconsensual surgery, and then throw them on the street to be cold and hungry and beat up and abused and traumatized and run over, and, you know, eating glass for dinner. You're not doing them a favor. And it's sad that you can't, you don't have the control. There's no fix for it except stop them from existing is the only cure. Don't create victims, and then there won't be victims.
With this problem, how do you end his life quickly and painlessly? And that becomes kind of another tough question.
And again, our civilization has done nothing. We can't even do it for each other. We'll watch each other die horribly, miserably, and let alone putting our own pets to sleep. We don't even give people the authority and the power to use the tools to do that in the most graceful way. No, you have to drag it to a veterinary and, you know, pay them $500. Just insane waste. And, so people can make money on it. So people can make it an industry. It's just so grotesque.
Just dealing with that fact of just having this little consciousness, this little sentient creature looking at you and saying, I'm in big fucking trouble. Help me. Do something.
And to sit there and have no power, just no good answer for the little beastie. And the best thing you can do is just drop the guillotine as quickly as possible. That's a sad, horrible circumstance for us to be in. That's the best we can do. Well, if that's the best we can do, we haven't earned our existence.
Even saying that, I think he was scared out of his fucking little brain. And this is just one little horror. That's all. This is just one tiny, 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 tiny fraction of...
Yeah, it's one grain of sand on all the beaches that ever existed. And it's to think, and so, again, we just can't measure it. We can't appreciate that. I can say one grain of sand on this basement floor. I could say one grain of sand, and there's just no way to appreciate how many times this horror has been replayed, and to not be able to say no mas, man, no, just no mas. No, it's not going to have my name. I'm not going to put my signature on this Constitution. The Constitution saying we must keep going, we must keep doing, we must. No, I'm not putting my name on it. You're not going to, you're not going to keeping slaves to your ambitions with my sanction.
The real life drama that happens out there all the time. I mean, how can people walk through that? Okay, they just walk through it like it's all garden and no weed.
You're sitting in the battlefield in some respects, right? I mean, I don't need a battlefield. I don't need to walk through the Civil War battlefield. All I needed was that little mouse. That's all I needed, and I was already done. I'm already full up on horror. I don't need any more. You don't need to pile it on. But people have walked through so much worse. They've witnessed things and then just kept playing the game. And you're just saying, how could they watch? I mean, all the people that had to be tied down, surgery done on them, like your wife or something, and they're cutting pieces off of her without any anesthesia. And it's just, you can't even imagine how do you survive that and have any enthusiasm for I'm going to go play golf tomorrow. No, I'm sorry. Humanity that glib and that cruel, you just can't say enough. You can't contrive enough fucking, negative words to describe the monster. How disgusting people are. How they piss on torture. They are as bad as, the worst of the child killers. And the worst of them. I mean, just, even when you hear one of those stories. I mean, there was a Russian serial killer, who killed mostly children. And he would stab them and then rape them while they were dying. And you're just trying to imagine how horrible the experience must have been for these victims who didn't know, you know, that today you're going to be really tortured. Just as bad as it gets. Just as bad as it, you just can't really, can't, you know, it's just as bad as it gets. And you're just gonna walk by and say, yeah, it's not me, it's not my problem. I, this doesn't have anything to do with what I'm doing. I'm gonna go to McDonald's to have a Happy Meal. Fuck you. Just fuck you.
Like that experience, that end, doesn't mean anything somehow. Somehow it's not something we can even put into our brains and acknowledge the existence of, because we can't even accept a few minutes of it or a few hours of it in one individual. And then you multiply that by millions of sentient creatures falling into all sorts of traps every day.
Yeah, and almost all of them will. That's the other part. Like I said, it's going to happen to you. I mean, you think you're immune, but you're not, okay? And, you know, and there's every likelihood you're not going to spend the last moments on this earth thinking about how all, what a bunch of fun it was. It ain't going to happen that way. And it's going to be way too late then to say, I'm sorry, gee, yeah, you know, I was wrong. Too late.
And all sorts of trauma. And to not be at least paused by it, at least to have some realization of this price hit you in the face and say, whoa. I just don't think that's asking too much from human beings, intelligent human beings. Unfortunately, I think if they really think about it and they go past pause, it's going to get kind of dark. Because that's the fact of our existence.
No, there's no way. There's just nothing. There's no silver lining. And I know that's all that people keep trying to contrive as excuses and justifications and rationalizations, because they don't want to think of their existence as a terrible imposition and waste. That they took too much. That they stole. You know. That they burdened. But it's just a fact. You've been very, very expensive. Having this capacity to see a video or to talk and to, you know, anything that you think is beautiful happening in the world, all of it was built out of millions of years of carnage. And you've been very, very expensive. And you're really not doing anything, frankly. You know, jumping up and down and saying, look how high I can jump. It's not worth the price that has been paid. And it's not worth the price that will be paid.
There's a bit of a trap we're in. Life is in a trap. Conscious, sentient creatures are caught up in a game of life that is not well constructed, that is at its roots insanely inefficient in what it extracts for the victory of succeeding in the individual chases that go on. So anyway, don't want to get...
So this is before I came up with the phrase unintelligent design, because I obviously didn't say it there, but and that's the tragedy. It's not our fault being here. It's our fault to do nothing about it.
Too dark, but look, the point of the channel is just to give people some reason to give a damn, some statement, some image, some something that'll make them for a fucking moment think that their life has a price, and if they're eating their fucking roast beef sandwich, they might take a second to just appreciate the animal who endured a miserable fucking life and a miserable fucking death to put that shit in their belly.
Yeah, so, but that's the only beautiful part, right? Like I said, the only thing, the beautiful part of this video was is that mouse didn't die for nothing, because it meant something to me, and it might mean a little bit to some of you. And so, at least it wasn't hidden, and you know, but all the other hidden tragedies, those mice were just as valuable. And so they're, you know, even you can't even find a true beauty in even the acknowledgement of this, because to acknowledge this is to ignore that or to diminish it in some way. And think, oh yeah, because we saw this, then, you know, it's almost like the gold medal, right? The gold medal winner stands on the podium, and the field of broken people that the gold medal was made out of, all the kids that broke their legs or all the tendons broken, all the dreams that, you know, ended with a, you know, an injury, all the stuff that was, all the sadness and tragedy that that moment's built out of isn't seen. And that's the cheat of our existence, is that I can't put in the video all of it. You know, I can't represent the reality, and that's just so unfair to all the realities. The 50 million war dead. You know, just one of the stories, just one story from the World War II, should be enough to make you vomit. 50 million horrible stories, and you're still waving your fucking flag, your pro-life flag? God damn, you suck.
I mean, that's all. Is it too much to ask that those things that we are extracting a sacrifice from at least have some appreciation? I, you know, obviously appreciating what nature's doing is just almost impossible. It probably is impossible. And that's phase two.
Yeah, so, you know, how to construct that argument where you can make you feel some percentage of that pain, some portion of that pain. I mean, there's just, you know, they're really, you can't do justice to the depth of the horror. And yet people who can't do that, they can't lift the weight, and they're talking about how it's not much weight, it's not a big deal. I mean the debt number is so preposterously huge, you know, and they're sitting there with their 49 cents saying, look, I'm paying my debt, you know, my 50 gazillion dollar debt, look, I'm paying it, here's 15 cents. It's so disgusting. It's so stupid.
But human beings can at least appreciate their impact.
Yeah, I mean, we can't undo it, right? We can't undo the past. We can't undo the tragedy of our circumstance. We can't undo the fact that we were designed to be shit. You know, a nasty biological organism that seizes territory and plants its little eggs, you know, and you know, like aliens or something. You know, its little monsters, its little parasites. You know, we can't do anything about that. We can't undo any of that. But we can help the future, okay? We can make the future have less of that in it or none of that in it. We can cure this disease. We don't have to be part of it. We don't have to feed it. Let it, you know, fall in the glue trap of our understanding. All right, so that's probably enough. Yeah. So anyway, this, you know, like I said, these are good videos, and I probably should make some videos just playing them, just because, you know, they're good arguments, consolidated. Like I said, look, you know, it goes on and on and on. And it's a lot of videos, and it's a lot of good messages, and but the fact is that it doesn't work. That's the part that I can't, you know, I can't quite grasp how this doesn't work. You know, that somehow you have to, you know, that there's some visceral way I could unzip me and say, look, look, How can you not see it? I'm one of the victims, and I'm saying, please stop torturing me for trivial shit. Okay, I don't want to, stop. Stop it. It hurts. Leave me alone. You know, quit doing this. You know, stick things up your own butt, not mine. You know, if you want to die over and over again, well, then figure out a way to do it to your brain and nobody else's. But I don't want to die over and over again, and especially in a bunch of horrible ways. I don't want to be the rapist, and I don't want to be the rape-y. I don't want to play. And you don't have the intellectual qualifications to claim you have the authority, okay, to keep doing it, to defend it, to keep feeding the biological monster. All right, so that's enough of a video, I guess. So, till the next time, and yeah, so, you know, so the agenda 12 years ago was trying to make a better argument. I could argue that, yes, people took my arguments, consolidated them, make them kind of beautiful and profound, and that still didn't work. So, you know, it's a tough sell. But I'm going to keep selling, and I'm just going to try to explain, you know, how this penicillin really does work. I mean, this is, you know, I used a metaphor to, you know, explaining to people, you know, like where you're in a circumstance where, you know, there's this simple little thing, you know, there's this fields of wheat, and there's a little hill, and there's a bunch of starving people on the other side, and you're just like, come on, this isn't so difficult. I mean, look, just climb high enough to, and right over here, there's the answer, solution, simple. You know, and this shouldn't be that hard to do. Selling immunity from death, disease, disability, torture, suffering. I don't know. How can that be a hard sell? And you don't have to sacrifice anything. You can live your whole long life, and you can die horribly, just like you want to. Just don't keep forcing the future to keep doing it over and over again. Don't keep forcing, you know, victims that won't be you, actually you, okay, to keep being tormented for nothing. For nothing. For your delusion that somehow, if you can torture people in the future, then somehow you're going to win. You know, you're going to be the winner and not the loser. You know, it's just too silly. They keep thinking that what the winning dice are always going to be put in your hand. You're always going to roll, you know, the box cars instead of the snake eyes. No. You have to be really stupid. But like I said, you know, people are really stupid. So that's the sad, tragic fact. Arguing to stupid people is really difficult. Really tough. You're better off with, like, you know, say if you could argue to a 10-year-old, you could win the argument. Because their brain hasn't gotten into some defensive, silly mode where they're, you know, reacting like a fanatic. You know, they can't be a fanatic at that age. And so, you know, the defensive triggers don't click in, so they actually listen to the argument and then say, yeah, okay. Yeah, I can sure get that. You know. So that's unfortunately part of the game, is these arguments really don't have, you know, the access to people when they need to hear the argument is when they're 10 years old or less. Before they're programmed into being a reactionary. Anyway, all right, now that's enough, we'll say. Okay, sorry, wait. Till the next time and such. And so forth and whatnot.